It is a pleasure to stand up here with one of my favorite people, and he is one of my favorite people, as you are. He's a serious, sober-minded young man. I don't know how old he is. He's young to me, and he's serious about this gospel and serious about the service for our Heavenly Father and for you and I. So I know that he has a serious sermon this day, one that is meant to edify us, one that is meant to draw us closer to God and His ways. Now we need to pray for ourselves that we would receive it, that Lord would work with him, loose his tongue. I know that he's already worked with him. I know that he has given him a message, a sermon this morning. So pray those prayers at this very moment for him and yourselves, that all of us this day might be edified. My brother Darren.
Talking. There. Welcome, everyone, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's so good to be here with my brothers and sisters. And I have to tell you, this sermon I preached last Sunday at the temple lot, and I knew before I preached it at the temple lot that I was supposed to preach it at both locals, but I still asked God again. And to help me to preach what he wants me to preach this morning. And he wants me to preach this again, so I'm going to. The title of this sermon is Dwell in Unity, One with God and with One Another. And as we're going through this together, I would like you to consider dwelling in unity, not only among your brothers and sisters in Christ and God, but with God and in your marriages, with God and in your families. This unity can't just be here among us, but it must be in our homes, as our brother David talked about this morning. It's easy to just be with God on Sunday. But it's important that he's with us every day in all of our relationships. So I'd like to start out in Psalm 133. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Pleasant. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon. And as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I want you to consider the pleasantness, if that's a word, of dew in a hot, dry land. Mount Hermon is one of the highest mountains, peaks, in the region around about Israel. And there you can almost always find dew at the highest peaks. And that dew is moisture. It's pleasant. It's refreshing. David here is talking about how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he's comparing it to the dew of Hermon. He's also comparing it to precious ointment. And I want to go a little bit into this precious ointment. In Exodus chapter 30, beginning in verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. So he's giving very specific instructions on just how this oil, this ointment, should be. Verse 25, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment. So this bond of unity, it's bound with holiness of each individual, each one of us. This precious ointment is to be made in an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of apothecary. That's apothecary is the science, as we would call it, of a pharmacist. What a pharmacist does, combines these medicines together to make a cure. Well, these instructions are specific details to make this oil, this ointment, holy. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And the laver was a washing place where Aaron and his sons, where they cleansed themselves. So this was to be anointed as well. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, so that they could be pure to offer a pure sacrifice before the Lord. So they were made holy, pure, to offer the sacrifice that they were called to offer. You and I are called to offer a sacrifice. In 3rd book of Nephi, chapter 4, verse 49, and ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood, as Aaron and his sons did. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit, a heart that is ready to receive the instruction of the Lord. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we are faced with the temptations, our brother David Rudd talked this morning that the devil is often tossed in, I think it's Ephesians 6, talks about those temptations as fiery darts that are being tossed towards us, trying to get at our heart, and we're supposed to lift up the shield of faith to block those temptations. We're protecting our hearts. And when those temptations come, say, for example, somebody rails at us, they're yelling at us, they're telling us whether what they're saying is true or not. We have, if they don't say it in a loving manner, we have temptations to respond. But this says, be not conformed to this world. The world would respond in an angry manner. And so we are not to conform to this world. When we're faced with any temptations in life that would cause us to separate from our brothers and sisters in Christ, that would cause us to separate from our husband or our wife, that would cause us to separate from our children, that would cause us to separate and not dwell in unity. When we're faced with those temptations, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Resist temptation. Dwell with God. And our brother David Rudd mentioned this as well. How do we do that? He said we need to be studying daily. We need to be have ourselves prepared for the battle. So, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That holy anointing oil, that holiness, needs to be renewed in our minds daily. And that comes through daily studying, daily praying and feasting, drawing near to God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I think we read about this this morning. In Mosiah chapter 2, verse 20. Even so, I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God. The greatness of God and your own nothingness. That doesn't mean you're worthless. Otherwise, Christ wouldn't have made that sacrifice specifically for you. Imagine what he went through for you. You're not worthless, but on your own, you're nothing. I'm nothing. But in the will of God, we're very useful. We're instruments in his hands. Retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. We're not worthy. We're not we didn't do anything of worth for him to make the sacrifice for us. And his good, we're not worthy of his goodness, but he loved us so much that he did it. And humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfast in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And here's the promise. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. I want to go back to that last part. Always be filled with the love of God. If we do this, if we remember the greatness of God and our own nothingness, and we humble ourselves in the depths of humility, calling upon the Lord daily, as we talked about a second ago, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, all the promises that are filled in the Word of God, if we do these things, we'll be filled with the love of God. If we're filled with the love of God, how can we not dwell in unity with our brothers and sisters? How can we not dwell in unity in our marriages? How can we not dwell in unity in our families? But with the love of God, we will dwell in unity. Verse 23, and ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you. What a promise. We can know all kinds of things. And it is so true when we feast on his word. How much, just like this oil, now I have a whole new concept of when I'm being administered to, what that represents. I always knew it represented the Spirit of God, but holiness is being poured out upon my head. And wow, and it's so true because James talks about that you'll be forgiven of your sins. Not only you'll be healed, but you'll be forgiven of your sins. Beautiful. Anyway, so we have this promise that we'll grow in the knowledge of the glory of God, of him that created you, and in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And ye will not have a mind, and here it is, to injure one another, but to live peaceably. We just read this morning. This wasn't a part of my sermon, but I knew it was when we read it. But to live peaceably and to render every man according to that which is his due. And you think about that. You can think of that in two ways. You can think, well, he's due this, so I'm going to give him this, you know, acting out in anger. Or you can think about how God has been with you, how merciful God has been with you. And you can think of rendering unto man what is his due as the love of Christ and what Christ has rendered to you. So, we were at Romans chapter 3. We read verse 3, and we'll go on. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, that's us, we're many members of the body of Christ, and all members have not the same office. We're not all apostles. We're not all choristers. We're not all workers in the kitchen. We're not all ones who are in charge of unlocking and opening the door and preparing the church. We're not all priests. We don't have the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. We're responsible for one another. Brother Bruce mentioned this morning the responsibility each one of us have of setting an example for the other. So we're not a temptation, a stumbling block in the life of another. So we don't just, we don't relax and do what pleases us, but we stand firm on the Word of God and please God. And therefore, we're a good example for the other. So we are members, everyone members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that sheweth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. As we're reading through these many gifts and functions in the body of Christ, I'm thinking how much I praise God that we belong to the Church of Christ and that His works are manifest among us. I had the opportunity to be here 10 days ago. We were in a Wednesday night service. My wife was being administered to. And God spoke through a brother, a revelation to her, not to worry about her numbers. And he spoke to me too. How does that happen with the grace of God? His mercy, His greatness. He gave my wife a vision right in the same service. He works among us. When we offer unto Him the sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, He's willing to use us. And not only not for our own fulfillment, but to serve one another, to be members one of another, to be one body, the functioning body of Christ. Once again, that starts at home. It starts in the choices we make. We were at Camp for All Ages a few weeks back. And I was led to, my wife was at the women's meeting, and in the women's meeting, one of the sisters began praying, and the song came to her. And this song was a song I hadn't sang in a long time, since I was a young person. And I think I don't even think it's a well-known song. I think it was somebody I knew who wrote the song. And anyway, this song came to my wife in Spanish while this sister was praying. And so she sang it to me afterwards, and I said, I know the song in English. And I had it still in memory. And the song was, I Just Came to Praise the Lord. And Brother Matt had asked me, Matt Case had asked me to lead a service in praise to God prior to our Sunday school and regular service. And so that was the theme, really, of this service of praise to God, was to focus on praising Him. So we sang that song, and afterwards our brother Bob stood up, and he said, it's nice to sing these songs of praise to God. He said, but we need to praise Him with our lives. The choices we make at home, I guess I'm really focusing on home because that's where it starts. It goes out from there to work, to church, but it starts at home with our spouse, with our children. Are we living the gospel of Christ at home? Are we being selfless at home? And by that, I mean loving others at home as we love ourselves. I think, you know, I know in my life, in the difficulties that my wife and I had in our marriage, that solving those problems were giving ourselves to God at home. Being willing to shut my mouth when I wanted to respond, or when I wanted to just be angry, and to humble myself and fast and pray about my living at home and relating to my wife and my children. And I go back to fasting and praying, drawing near to God, asking Him to have effect in my home, and then letting Him use me in that process. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave. It's like when we're supposed to cleave to the rod of iron, the word of God. Cleave to that which is good. Because we naturally don't. We naturally cleave to what we want to do and when we want to do it, pleasing ourselves. But we should cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, being selfless, not slothful in business, doing the things we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And that's something we do throughout it all. Continuing instant in prayer. I think it says in the Book of Mormon that when you're not praying out loud, pray in your hearts. Always have a prayer on your heart, ready and willing to hear the word of the Lord, the message He has for you that day, that hour, that minute. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with... These are all things that I'm rushing through, it seems like. But that are important points that we should go home and meditate on. Each one of these small commandments. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. And what mind is that? The mind of Christ. It's having that charity, that pure love of Christ, that we're supposed to pray with all the energy of our hearts for. With that mind, the mind that is willing to be long-suffering, willing to not be puffed up, but... To, as we read earlier, I can't even think of the wording, mind men of low estate or goat, to humble ourselves. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Oh, here it is right here. But condescend to men of low estate, like Christ condescended to us. He humbled himself. He came down and took upon him flesh. and was faced with all the temptations we're faced with so that he could help us in our time of need. And we're supposed to do the same thing for others. We're not supposed to judge someone because they're filthy, but humble ourselves, condescend to men of low estate, humble ourselves and teach them as Christ has taught us. Be not wise in your own conceits, your own pride. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't respond in the natural man. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Even in the world. Even those who... I'm reminded of our sister, Wendy Granger, who someone in her work treated her horribly. And she was guided by the Holy Spirit to go and, when that person was sick in the hospital, go and visit them. That's not recompensing evil for evil, but doing good in the face of evil. And fruit came out of it. The person was baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. About 10 days ago, I was visiting with a sister, and I was asking her a question, and it was about, not important what it was about, but her response to me was what she had learned, the lesson she learned was give it your best shot today in your relationships, because tomorrow you may not have that person in your life anymore. And so everything we do affects others and affects our relationship with God. So a few of things that came to... This was actually her example. She said, even when you're cleaning your house, do it to the glory of God. Give it your best shot. And a lot of these, some of these things step on my toes. Maybe yours or not, but these are just a few examples. Whether cleaning the house or giving a testimony or communicating with your spouse, give it your best shot. Whether working in your profession or singing praises to God or communicating with your brother or sister in Christ, give it your best shot. Whether studying at school or listening to a sermon or communicating with your parent, give it your best shot. Whether disciplining your children or preaching a sermon or communicating with your children, give it your best shot. I'm reminded of a testimony that our brother Frank Fan gave a few years ago. And he gave testimony about a sister. He was in the Philippines, and he was dressed with nice clothing, but casual. And the sister came up to him. A sister came up to him and said, "Brother Fan," she said, I can't remember exactly how she put it, but she noticed his attire, his clothing, and she said, "Don't we sing a hymn called Give of Your Best to the Master?" And he learned this lesson that day. That he needed to, even in his attire, he needed to give of his best to the master. But I want us to focus on that message, that hymn, in our relationships. I'm going to go ahead and read that hymn, hymn 167. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh, glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give him first place in your heart. First place. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Your service to him in your home, in your work, in church. Give him first place. Consecrate every part. There's the place in the Word of God that says, before you do anything unto the Lord, pray that he would consecrate it, or I can't remember if that's the correct word, that it be to his glory. That's not a real good paraphrase. Maybe you should look it up. Give and to you shall be given. God his beloved Son gave, gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom. Gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmur. So we should give of ourselves without murmur. You from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have. That's where it starts, the heart. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Jacob chapter 2, verse 50. O all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God and feast upon his love. For ye may, if your minds are firm forever. It's so important to be able to dwell with one another, to have that pure love of Christ. We have to protect our hearts. We have to protect our hearts from those temptations of the devil and allow God to fill it with his love, with that pure love of Christ, with that charity. About 10 days ago, 12 days ago, on a Tuesday night, there was published from Yucatan a testimony of a sister. Our sister's name is Lady. She's from Wild K, Yucatan. And she was visited by an angel over several occasions. And the first one or two visits, I'm not sure how many visits by this angel she had, but the first one warned her of things that were going to happen in her family. Things that would cause them to divide. But she was commanded to give this message to her family that they were to stand firm together, firm on Christ. And so then these things happened in her family, and they stayed firm because they were warned. And then the angel visited her again, and then he told her that he would visit her in the church this certain Friday morning, and she was to come to church alone, And she was to, that this angel would be there and he would give her a message. So she came in fasting and prayer, and he was there sitting in the corner. And so he told her things regarding her family, told her things regarding the church local there, and then he told her a message to us, to all the Church of Christ, and all those who would hear her testimony. And this is what the angel said. An angel of God told a sister, this is me here, my comment. An angel of God told a sister of the Church of Christ in Yucatan to tell this to all who heard her testimony. And this is what the angel said. We should keep fighting to do what is right because the coming of God approaches. And when I hear that part of the message, that's what I want to get across today. Fight to do what's right. Don't fight against one another. The battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle again is against the devil. And our strengthening our relationships by the love of Christ will help us in that battle. And so that's what this fight is, the struggle is. We should keep fighting to do what is right because the coming of God approaches. And he told me to ask this question to all that I give this testimony to. What more do you want? If you are reading the Word of God and seeing all the things that are coming to pass, and all that I said, because this angel said many things to her about what would happen, and all that I said and that we are seeing are things that are clear and real, and it is written in the books. This is the question that he said to ask everyone that hears this testimony. What more do you want? To me, this came as a rebuke. A rebuke that we are not reading the Word of God enough. And that it's there. Now, the rebuke came. God chastises his children that he loves. It came to us because he loves us and we're doing things right. But this, we're not doing enough. We're not reading the Word of God enough. If so, we would be seeing the things around us and knowing exactly what it means. And I want to relate this to our marriages, to our families, to our church. Things that are happening in our marriages. If we want to know what it is, what the battle is, how to respond to it, we need to be in the Word. If we want to know the things that are affecting the church, how the devil is fighting against the church, and be prepared for that, we need to be in the Word. We need to be in the Word. Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. That he might fulfill all things. What great power as God, that he can make something dead alive. And because of it, Christ is alive. And God's Spirit is alive among us. What great power we have available to us if we are willing to submit to the will of God as Christ did. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That we not be tossed to and fro by those darts of the devil, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. I love this scripture. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's speaking of the function of each member of the body of Christ. And when we are filled with this love of Christ, this holiness, how we can have our effect in our certain part, in our certain function, and the whole of it, when we're all doing it, what a beautiful thing is the body of Christ. And each member in particular. For the body is not, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. This is talking about the importance of every single member of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? This is not only talking about the importance, but of our importance of fulfilling the will of God in our lives, because we do have effect, each member, on the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And I'm going to end on this scripture. It was a statement to Alma, to some priests that had been ordained. But I'd like to send this to all of us. And he commanded them that there should be no contention one with another, not in our marriages, not in our families, not in our church. The church of Christ. There should be no contention one with another, but that they should look forward with one eye, having one faith and one baptism, having their hearts knit together in unity and in love, one towards another. And that starts with us, one towards another. May God bless us that we would dwell with God and with one another in unity.